We do welcome you this morning to our service here in Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church. We trust the Lord will bless you as you link in at home to this service, and we trust that you will know the presence of the Lord as we worship the Lord together. We can worship in our homes at Bible times, have to worship in their houses certain periods of time, and so we join together in worship in this way even at this time of pandemic. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we come to Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Pray for Thy presence with us. So meet together around Thy word this day. Thou wilt speak to every heart. We pray in the Saviour's name. Amen. We're joining in the opening Psalm 121 in the hymn book there on page 120. If you have a hymn book to hand, you can turn to this Psalm. I to the hills will lift my eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. The psalm and hymn you'll hear sung today are from previous services sung in our church. 21, keep our seats as we sing through this psalm together. Stand for prayer. Let us bow together in prayer. Our eternal God and gracious Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence today in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that Thou wilt meet with us and bless us. We pray that we might know a sense of Thy nearness and presence as we meet together in Thy name this morning. We ask of Thee, Lord, that Thou wilt speak to every heart. Thank Thee, O God, for the message of the Word of God that comes with freshness to our souls. The bread of heaven that comes to feed us. And Lord, afresh we come to Thy Word and seek to be fed upon it today. And to be built up in our most holy faith. We pray that Thou wouldst draw us ever closer to the wounded side of our Saviour, and we may know something of Thy nearness and presence and power as the Word is preached today. Stand alongside the preacher and help us and enable us and empower us as we preach the Word of God, that we might be faithful in the declaration of Thy truth. And we pray, Father, that as Thy people are built up, that souls too will be drawn in saving faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the church family at this time, and we pray, Father, that You'll meet every need within the families of the congregation, the elderly, the middle-aged, the younger. We pray that Thou wilt meet the need of the boys and girls with the challenges of homeschooling and all that's going on for them and their parents in these times. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help them. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt bless those who are isolated through all these months. We pray, Father, for those who have not been able even any time to get out, even when the churches were open, to meet with us in the house of God. We pray for comfort and grace for all such. Those who have illness at this time too, we pray that thy ministry of healing will be upon all such in our congregation. Those that have been through surgery and waiting for treatments, and those, O God, who are waiting for procedures or appointments, we pray that thou wilt help them all through this. And we pray that thou wilt meet every need of every family. And where there are those who are yet unsaved, we pray that thou wilt draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask of thee, Lord, that thou wilt remember too the need of our land at this time. We thank you for all that you've done, even in the rolling out of this these vaccines. We thank thee, Lord, for the help that has been given in all of this. And we pray, Father, that in days to come, Lord, our society will get back to a degree of normality. We leave it all in thy hands. We know that thou art in control, and so we submit to thy will in these matters, in these days. We pray for guidance for our government and wisdom to be given in all the decisions that they make. And help us to be submissive to the decisions of government, for the powers that be are ordained of God. And we have a duty in regard to these things to be submissive. And so, Lord, help us to be submissive to these restrictions in the midst of a health pandemic. We leave, Lord, our citizens before thee, and we pray, O God, that thou wilt work in hearts and lives and challenge people about their need of salvation, about their own mortality, and cause them to think about eternity and draw precious souls to know the Lord. Father, we do pray, O God, that thou wilt undertake for us and bless us, O God, meet every need of every aspect of the work of God, and cover it all neath the precious blood of the Lamb. Lead us forward in days to come, that the days ahead of us will be greater days. We thank thee for the years that the Free Presbyterian Church has been in being, almost 70 years. We rejoice, Lord, in the souls that have been saved down through the decades of time. We come to this time, Lord, of anniversary, and we give thee thanks. We ask, Lord, that the days ahead will be even greater in days of revival, that thou wilt come to our churches and come to our land. And Lord, right across the world, with a mighty heaven-sent revival, we ask it in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we're turning to think about the story again of Moses in the Old Testament scriptures and the children of Israel. And you remember how that Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he wouldn't let the children of Israel go from the land of Egypt. And of course the plagues came upon the land of Egypt. And you remember, boys and girls, how many plagues were there? Was it 5 or 6? No, it was 10 plagues. 10 plagues that came. And the last plague was the severest of all, the death of the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And boys and girls, the Israelites were told to slay the lamb, and the blood of the lamb was put on the doorposts and lintels of their houses. And where the blood was applied, those within those homes of the Israelites, the people of God, were safe in the day when judgment came. And the death angel came into the land of Egypt. And those in the houses where the blood was applied were safe. And boys and girls, it's only when we are sheltering neath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, that we will be safe. Have you the Lord Jesus Christ in your life today? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart? And so these people were safe in the day when judgment came. Boys and girls, what consternation there was in the land of Egypt when it was heard that the death angel had come, and the firstborn in all of Egypt and the houses and homes of the Egyptians were slain. And Pharaoh, of course, was meeting in the middle of the night, in the night when this happened, boys and girls, and he said, "Let the people of Israel go and get them out of the land." And of course, this was the deliverance for God's people out of the house of bondage, out of Egypt and out of under Pharaoh and all of the taskmasters of Egypt. And so, boys and girls, the Israelites were able to gather from the Egyptians all that they needed, the bits and pieces they needed, and they spoiled the Egyptians. and they got all they required for the travel that they had to go from the land of Egypt for the journey ahead, boys and girls. And so they got what they needed, and they journeyed out of the land of Egypt. And boys and girls, this was God's hand. This is what God had done for the children of Israel. They came out of the land of Egypt. You know, God delivered them, boys and girls. And so, if we put our trust in God, and if we do what God says, and if we obey His word, God will deliver us. How important it is, boys and girls, to think about this story of Israel's deliverance from Egypt, and to think about our own lives, and how if we trust in the Lord, and take Him as our Saviour, and invite Him into our hearts, that He will deliver us. And so, boys and girls, we've brought to you the story of Moses, and how he was chosen of God to be the leader of God's people from the land of Egypt, and how God delivered them through the blood of the Lamb. And so, boys and girls, if you trust Christ as your Saviour, the Lamb of God, then you will be cleansed from all your sin, and you will be delivered from the bondage of that sin, and freed from it by the grace and mercy of God. Will you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart today, even as your Saviour now? We're going to sing a little chorus, and you hear it, boys and girls, and you can join in with the actions as it's played through once. To again welcome you for joining us in our service this morning. We trust the Lord's blessing will be upon you in your homes and whatever device you're using to listen in to our service. Remember the season of prayer in our homes this afternoon. We encourage you to seek the Lord's face and to pray even in your own home this afternoon. Remember the gospel service online tonight. Again, the subject is saving faith. And we're looking again at the chapter 2 of Joshua concerning Rahab tonight. Our sister Natasha Atchison will bring messages and song and share a word of testimony in her evening gospel service. Trust you'll be able to join us online this evening again. Then on Wednesday night, the Bible study online, the book of Titus, continuing the series and the survey of the New Testament, and followed by a season of prayer at home. And do remember that. Join with us on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And then Friday at 8 p.m. our youth fellowship on Zoom, and the link will be forwarded to you beforehand. Trust young people, again, you'll join us on Friday night for our youth fellowship. If you haven't joined us as yet, feel free to link in to the Zoom youth fellowship this Friday at 8 p.m. in the will of God. Next Lord's Day, the services online at 11:30 and 7, and we'll bring God's message, God willing, at both services, trusting you'll be able to join us. Do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. Pray for others going through treatments and procedures, for those who have known bereavement in these times too. And pray for divine intervention in this time in relation to this virus. Our services for now will be continuing sermon audio with weekly meditation on Facebook and WhatsApp. Offerings can be forwarded, as has been indicated clearly, indicating what they are for, and can be sent into our treasurers or kept until we return to church for public worship. Our presbytery at a recent meeting decided that our churches can be opened again for public worship in the beginning of March, God willing. This will only be for midweek prayer meetings, Lord's Day services for now. All health restrictions must be followed, and this decision will be kept under constant review. There will be a season of prayer this coming Saturday, the 27th of February, on Zoom from 10 in the morning to 11:30, and then in the afternoon from 2 to 3:30. Look out for the link so that you can join these prayer meetings on Zoom or engage in prayer in your own homes. Please engage in earnest prayer about all these matters at this time. Let us turn to the Word of God, and for our reading today, we're looking at the book of Joshua again, chapter 20 of the book of Joshua, and we're turning to this portion of God's Word. It's a short portion of Scripture we're reading this morning, Joshua chapter 20 and the verse 1. Let us hear the Word of God. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I speak unto you by the hand of Moses. At the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly, they flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbour unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness, upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us bow together in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray for help now as we come to thy precious word. We pray for the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. Give prevailing words, we pray, in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to turn your attention again to the book of Joshua, the theme of journeying through Joshua. And today, the subject is again, possessing the land. Possessing the land. Obadiah chapter, or verse 17, mentions those words which we take as our text for today. Possess their possessions. Obadiah verse 17. Possess their possessions. And in journeying through Joshua, we have been looking, first of all, at the entering into the land. And secondly, we looked at the conquering of the land. And thirdly, we have been considering possessing the land. And it is possessing the land where we're presently looking at. First of all, the commencement of this. And we looked at chapter 13, verse 1, to chapter 17, verse 18. And then we came to the consolidation of this in chapters 18 and 19. And in continuing on the theme of this distribution of the consolidation in the land, we come today in the first instance to chapter 20, the chapter we have read from. And first of all, we look at the cities of refuge. When the nation was still on the other side of the Jordan, God told Moses to have his people set aside special cities for the Levites. It's mentioned in Numbers chapter 35 verses 1 to 5. As well as six cities of refuge mentioned in Exodus 21 verse 13. Now that the tribes had received their territory, Joshua could assign these cities of refuge. Even before the law of Moses was given, God had laid down the basic rule that those who shed blood should pay for their crime with their own blood. Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 to 6. This principle was enunciated repeatedly in the law. But God made a distinction between murder and manslaughter. Exodus 12, 12 to 14. Leviticus 24, 17. Numbers 35 and other passages there in the Old Testament scriptures. In Numbers 35 verses 33 to 34 we read, "So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are. For blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel." And the six cities of refuge were needed because society in that time had no police force to investigate crimes. It was the responsibility of each family to see to it that murders were avenged. And how could they tell whether it was the case of premeditated murder or accidental manslaughter? In the heat of anger, a relative of a dead person might kill somebody who was really innocent of a capital crime. And Joshua set apart three cities on each side of the Jordan River. On the west side, Kadesh was the furthest north in the territory of Naphtali. Shechem was in the middle of the nation in the tribe of Manasseh, and Hebron was in the south in the tribe of Judah. On the east side of Jordan, the cities were Golan in the north in Manasseh, Reuben and Gad, and Bezer further south in the tribe of Reuben. Looking at the layout or geography of the land, you can see that none was very far from a city of refuge. The law was really quite simple. Anybody who killed another person could flee to a city of refuge and be protected from the avenger of blood until the elders of the city could investigate the circumstances. If they found the fugitive guilty, he or she would be put to death. But if they concluded it was a case of manslaughter or accidental death, the fugitive was allowed to live in the city and be protected from the avenger. Upon the death of the high priest, the fugitive would go home again. It was a case of forfeiting freedom in order to save his or her life. And as we look at these cities of refuge that are brought before us in the Word of God, we see in them a picture of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom, according to Hebrews 6 and verse 18, we have fled for refuge. And we thank God for that refuge that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. The lost sinner, of course, is no longer in danger of judgment because the wages of sin, the lost sinner is in danger of judgment because the wages of sin is death. The avenger of blood is after him or her. But God's appointed Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." But the sinner must come to Christ by faith in order to be saved. Come unto me, the Lord said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6, verse 37. The way to each city of refuge was kept open, with the roads that were cared for and marked, according to Deuteronomy 19:3. You see, God wanted it to be easy for the fugitives to find their way to safety. But beyond this, the picture is one of contrast. When we come to Christ for salvation, there is no need for an investigation or a trial. Because we know we're guilty. We admit our guilt and our sin. The only people Jesus can save are those who confess their guilt and throw themselves upon God's mercy. Have you confessed the guilt of your sin? Have you come to throw yourself upon God's mercy? If you haven't, I trust you will, even now. If a fugitive permanently left the city of refuge, he could be killed. But our salvation in Christ is not conditional. Our high priest will never die. We are forever secure. The Word of God teaches us in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, our great high priest, continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so our great high priest ever liveth to make intercession for us. The meanings of the names of these cities of refuge are interesting, as they're brought before us here in the book of Joshua, chapter 20. First of all, you have Kadesh, which speaks of righteousness. Shechem means shoulder. Hebron, fellowship. Bezer, fortress or strong. Ramoth, heights. Golan, exile. And these names then can be used to describe the sinner's experience when they flee by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he gives us his righteousness. We are clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts upon him his righteousness. And we are made unto him righteousness. We can never be accused again. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Next, like a shepherd, he carries them on his shoulders. Remember that picture there of the shepherd going out after the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15? And he carries the lost sheep on his shoulders. And so, when we come to Christ, the Lord lifts us and delivers us from our lost condition and carries us to the place of safety and refuge. And then, we discover also that they enter into fellowship with Him. Thank God we have fellowship with Christ. When we come to Him, we enter into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is our fortress. He is the one who is our protection. He is our refuge and strength. He is the place of refuge for us in the course of our lives. God is our refuge and strength. And then they dwell in heights. Even though they are exiles and pilgrims in this strange world, yet we dwell in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are raised together with Him. Unless you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved. But since our sins are put on the cross, all of us are guilty of death. He's the only Savior. And apart from faith in Him, there is no salvation. Have you faith in Christ today? Oh, I trust that you'll place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And so we have the consolidation of this distribution, the cities of refuge. But then we have the conclusion of this distribution in chapter 21, verses 1 to 45. This relates to the Levitical cities. The tribe of Levi, we've noted before, didn't have a territory assigned to it, but was scattered throughout the land. This way they could teach the people the law and influence each of the tribes to be faithful to the Lord. But the Levites needed places to live, and they needed pastures for their cattle. And thus God assigned 48 cities for them to live in, along with a specific amount of land for pasture. This is mentioned in Numbers chapter 35, verses 1 to 5. And the pasture land could not be sold, but their houses could be sold. And the Levites even had special privileges for redeeming their property. It's mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 32 to 34. The two lists of Levitical cities that we have in Scripture, in Joshua chapter 21 and 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 54 to 81, do not always agree. But it has to be remembered that the names of cities and spellings change through the years. It's possible that from time to time new cities were selected and old ones abandoned. So there's no contradiction in the records. There were 48 Levitical cities in total. Six of them also were cities of refuge. Each of the tribes contributed 4 cities, except Judah and Simeon, who together contributed 9. And Naphtali contributed 3. The descendants of Aaron, Kohath, Gershom, and Merari were assigned to various cities, although other Jews also lived in them. In Numbers chapter 26, verse 62, we are told that there were 23,000 Levites before Israel entered the land. A big crowd of Levites to be scattered and distributed among 48 cities. You see the order and structure of all that was being done. You see, the work of God is to be done in an orderly manner. In accordance with God's word, the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. It was important that Israel have qualified and authorized people to minister in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And we must never minimize the teaching and ministry of the priests and Levites mentioned in 2 Chronicles 17, verses 7 to 9. Since the common people did not own copies of Scripture or the law, it was important that the Levites identify with the people, explain the law to them. And so they had a ministry among the people. And these Levitical cities were so located that nobody was too far away from a man who could help them understand, teach them, and help them to apply the law of Moses. This long section of the book of Joshua closes with 3 wonderful affirmations. First of all, God was faithful to give Israel the land. And we have the mention of that in the Word of God. He kept the covenant that He made, first with Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 12, and then with his descendants. God is faithful to His people. And the Bible reiterates this over and over again. God is faithful to the promises He makes to His people. And we can rely upon those promises. We can rest in those promises. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. What a comfort that is to us. In times of trial, in times of trauma, in times of distress, in every situation and circumstance of life, we have God's promises to rest upon. And secondly, God gave Israel victory over all their enemies and then gave them rest from war. Look at chapter 21 of the book of Joshua. And look at the verse 44. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there was stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. What a wonderful word this is. What the 10 unbelieving spies at Kadesh Barnea said could never happen, did happen. Because Joshua and Caleb and the people believed God and obeyed his word. My friend, it is no different today. People say it cannot happen. But with God, all things are possible. God can make a way, for there's no way. God made a way in the history of Israel, out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, across the Jordan, into the land of promise. And so today, God can make a way for you and for me and for all of the people of God if we believe God and keep his word. God kept his promises. Look at chapter 21 again, verse 45. Joshua 21, 45. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. It doesn't say some of it came to pass. It doesn't say most of it came to pass. It doesn't say nearly all of it came to pass. It says all came to pass. And at the close of his life, Joshua would remind his people of this. Chapter 23 of Joshua and verse 14. Chapter 23 of Joshua, verse 14. And Joshua said, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. And not one thing hath failed thereof. Not one thing. And Solomon reminded them of it again when he dedicated the temple. In 1 Kings 8, verse 56. And as the people of God, today we can claim these assurances of faith. God's covenant with us is not going to fail. God's power and wisdom can give us victory over every foe. God's promises, dear friends, can be trusted. No matter what your circumstances may be today, and you may be in very difficult circumstances. You may be in very trying circumstances, very traumatic circumstances, but God knows. And all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. The covenant of God, the power of God, the promises of God, these are the spiritual resources we can depend upon as we claim our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what blessings are ours in Christ? All spiritual blessings are ours in Christ. What an inheritance we have in him. A rich inheritance. Let us possess our possessions in him. You can see the progress that was made as far as the people of God were concerned. Entering the land, conquering the land, and possessing the land. May we make spiritual progress in our lives today and in days to come. And if you're not saved, you can make no progress spiritually in your life until you come to Christ. Until you're saved. And I pray that whoever you are, whatever your situation may be today, you'll take the sinner's place and know the gift of repentance and faith and trust Christ as your Savior. Even this very moment. May God bless his word to every heart. Let us pray. Father, bless thy word, apply it to every heart just now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to our hymn books for our closing hymn. It's hymn number 439, again from a previous service in our church. I have a shepherd, one I love, so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. 439, page 353. If you have a hymn book there, you join in the singing of this hymn at home. you for joining us, Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church, for our morning worship. Trust the Lord has helped you and blessed you through His word today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us, and we pray that Thou wilt bless every hearer this day, and we pray that Thou wilt speak to every heart from Thy precious word. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.